Red means go.
This may be a short lesson, so let's have lots of discussion again. Thank you so much for the discussion that y'all have been giving in the previous lesson, helping me as well. This morning, the topic is our health. And we all have at times various health issues where we don't feel good, or we can't figure out what's wrong with us, and the doctors can't figure out what's wrong with us, and we get frustrated and just are not sure what to do at what time. We all have aches and pains. But can our concern for our health become an idol to us? And that's where I wanted us to focus today. Have we ever thought, okay, if I disinfect everything I touch, if I eat all the right vegetables, take all the right vitamins, I'll never get sick? No. Some people do, though. I mean, they disinfect everything that they touch, and they don't go outside because there's germs out there, and they don't do various things and do all of this other stuff. Yes, we can do things to help eliminate some of the things that may cause us to get sick, but we are not in control. God is in control, and we're going to get sick, and there's things in the air, and it's just going to happen. How many hours, I want us to think about, how many hours a day do we exercise? How many hours a day, apparently there was some missed words in that next one. Do we count calories or count points on what we eat? How many hours a day do we spend scrubbing our house from top to bottom? I know people that would get a toothbrush and scrub that grill. They'd spend hours doing it. How many hours a day researching the types of food to buy, whether it's all organic, pesticide-free, range-free, cage-free, grain-fed, green grain-fed, whatever it is. Apparently everything's something else is better for you. And spend all that time researching on the types of food that we buy. Why are we doing all of that? Sometimes it's a health issue. Sometimes you're allergic to certain foods. So there has to be some research that goes into it to make sure that there's certain, like with Craig, I have to make sure that there's certain things not in certain foods because of an allergy he has. Or when Dylan was younger, we were very conscious about sugars in his food, because it affected his behavior. So I did spend some time researching that. But on the other hand, how many hours a day are we researching and studying our Bible? Are we putting it into perspective? Are we spending more time on one and not enough on the other? Is the balance offset? Now, researching foods that you eat or cleaning your house and all of that, that's not bad. That's not wrong. We should want to have a clean home. We should want our company to feel welcome and not feel uncomfortable in our home. We should want our family to want to come home to a clean house and good smelling food cooking in the air. As long as the balance isn't offset. The energy that we are spending researching and contacting doctors to figure out why we feel bad, are we spending the same amount of time and energy in our service to God? Are we studying the same amount of time? What about our time in prayer? This really hit home with me this last year because I spent a lot of time going through doctors trying to figure out what was wrong with me. And I was a struggle for me not to focus too much on why I didn't feel good, why the doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with me, and was I getting frustrated with God because I wasn't getting the answers that I wanted. And that was something that I really had to focus on, was that I was where my frustration lay. Miss English person helped me with my grammar. if you're doing all of these things above, again, like I said, are you doing them because you don't want to get sick? And are we really in control of our health? Some things we are. Some things we can control. But some things we really can't. And again, are we getting frustrated? Where's our frustration lay? Because we're not getting the answers that we want. A person that I want us to look at is Job. Let's go to Job chapter 1. And before we start there, does anybody have any comments so far? Because this is going to fly by if y'all don't talk up.
A question popped into my mind. You know, you said some things we can control and some things we can't. I guess we can control what we put in our body, but we, you know, food, medicine, whatever. But can we really control any of the outcome? Mm-mm. You know, I just hit me. Can we really control anything as far as I feel?
No, I don't think we can.
I think we can to a degree, and I think Ken is a prime example of that. Because he knows he has an illness. We may not can keep ourselves from getting sick. Because there may be some things that there, as we all know, that the doctors cannot help. But I think sometimes we can control, if we have self-control, just like with Ennis, his diabetes numbers were bad. And by just simply controlling what he puts in his mouth, he's made his life better. Mm-hmm. And so I think we can do that sometimes. And even when we don't have a particular problem like he does, we all, and I have the list, know that there are certain things that we should not eat or do. Mm-hmm. And we know, okay, I'm going to do this, but I'll pay the consequences if it's okay. And I've heard people who are diabetic say, I know I shouldn't eat this piece of cake, but I'll just take extra insulin tonight. And so I think we can control some things and make them better, but we don't. We're too lazy. We don't have stuff.
But then again, like Lauren was saying, we can control what goes in our mouth. Like Ennis is controlling mm-hmm. what he's eating. But I don't know that we're in control of the outcome. To a certain extent.
I don't think we're in control of it.
That's what I was talking about. Yes, we can control it.
Because the vitamin D. Lots of cheese, lots of milk. I'm a vitamin D person. Lots of green leafy vegetables. That all went in. But I was not in control that my body wasn't absorbing it.
But if you knew that would help and you don't.
That's where another issue
is. That's another issue. Yes. But sometimes we can improve our health. But we're not willing to put forth the effort.
Exactly. Lauren?
I was thinking more about people like Randy Surratt. You know, we can't control what we get and what we don't, what goes on in our bodies. You know, sometimes it's genetic, sometimes it's our own fault by what we eat. But somebody like him who got cancer, you know, at a very young age, and yeah, he's getting treatments, but there's no guarantee. I guess
right.
I was kind of marching along on the tax control and guarantee. And yes, this has been wonderful for Ennis, but you know, he's stated that would work for everybody.
Exactly.
You know, his results are remarkable, just amazing. And it takes Pat's right, it takes a person with self control, obviously.
But the point my thing is there are people who assume it's not going to help them.
True, and don't
even bother. Don't even bother.
You know, whether you take a pill or just
right.
You know,
yeah.
I don't care. It's not worth the effort. You know, I like that. I like that. I'm not
going to
give up my family.
God made bread.
It
has to be.
Oh, my goodness.
God made wheat or whatever.
Yeah.
I like my ice cream, and, you know, I just rather live miserably and have what I want. And then, when they have no quality of life, it's real hard to have the greatest of sympathy for them because they haven't tried.
Right.
If they've tried and it doesn't work, that's something totally different.
Exactly. But go ahead.
Along the same lines, you can just look at what God has provided for us to eat, and you have to know that that's the way He intended. All the processes that are in our body, unnatural things, have got to cause a bad outcome eventually. know we can't control that we're going to be in good health. Some things are just genetic. But it's our obligation to make the best choices that we can if we want to have a healthy body.
And I think that what you do to yourself and the way that you feel, whether it's you're splurging on all this food or whether you're taking all these vitamins, whatever way you go, it affects your health, which in turn affects how you feel. And do you feel like breathing at all? Are you ready to take a nap just to stay a big bowl of ice cream? Are you? I mean, it affects your opportunities or your feeling of worshiping God and praising Him and serving Him, the abilities that you can, depending on how you treat yourself and how you live your life in that aspect of health wise. And I don't know if that makes sense or if I just want to get right, but the choices you make have consequences, good or bad.
Okay.
You know, but still, you can eat healthy. Some people are real strict about that, and you still get cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or diabetes, or high blood pressure, or something.
Or die in a wreck.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or you know that how the some big famous runner several years ago who run forever, he was in top of the condition, he dropped into a heart attack at 40.
And then you've got the people who eat horribly.
Yeah, my grandfather used to eat gravy on his pie. He lived in 91. Skinny as a mouse for teachers.
Exactly.
But if you take the same concept of the runner not in bed, my husband eats anything bad that he can get his hands on, although we're doing better. And he trains nonstop, so you don't actually know what they're putting in their body.
Exactly. So, it just goes back to how in control are we with what the outcome of our life is.
We're not in control, but God does expect us to act responsibly.
Yes.
People who smoke and drink use the same thing.
Oh, and I've heard the same rationalization. God grows pot. It grows from the ground, so it must be good. You know, I've heard the very same rationalization towards that.
Well, we all know people who are... I've got a neighbor who's 90 years old, smokes like a sack. And you wonder how in the world. And she's in pretty good health. Mm-hmm. But does that mean that, okay, everybody just all smoke like a pack? And, you know, I can hardly stand it in my house. You go in there, and after 2 minutes, I just can't breathe.
Can't breathe, so yes. Exactly.
Yes, you don't go there. You go somewhere else. You go there. And,
right. In Job chapter 1, in verse 8, the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." Then again, God knows, God knew that Job was faithful, was upright, served him, and Satan started taking advantage of that. In verse 15, the Sabians attacked and took his oxen and the donkeys. In verse 16, fire fell from heaven, burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them. In verse 17, the camels and the servants were slain. In verse 18, his sons and his daughters killed in a great wind. In verse 22, through all of this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. I've got that in being bold. Imagine that in one day, I believe that's one day, right? One day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because verse 15, the first one come in and he's told, and then verse 16, while he was speaking,
someone else
while he was speaking, and 18, while he was speaking. So this is not all in one day. This is all in one very short span of time.
Yeah. It'd be like in labor, in a heavy contraction, you don't get a break. They just keep on coming. And all of this was happening, and I just can't even imagine. I just can't even imagine getting all of this news. Instead of, how many times do we hear something bad happening? It's God's fault. Why did God do this to me? It's God's fault.
If there was a God, this would have
happened. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there was a God, that baby wouldn't have died, or my dad wouldn't have died, or my grandmother wouldn't have died, or my house wouldn't have burned down. All of this. But through all of that, Job didn't sin, nor did he blame God. In chapter 2, verse 7, boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Now, I don't know that I've ever had a boil.
I have. It's terrible.
But I can't imagine when Steve burned his foot on the hot coals, the pain that he was in trying to walk, and that was, I'm sure, minor compared to a boil all over your body where you just can't get relief. Can you imagine? Clothes. Those of you that have had boils, clothes would hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have to wear clothes, and this is all over. There wasn't a place that did not hurt. And in chapter 9, or verse 9, sorry, it says, do you still hold fast your integrity? This is his wife telling him this. His helpmate is telling him this. Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. Just give up. What are you holding on for? And I can almost see her with that attitude. This precious God that you have and that you serve. Look at everything he's done. Why? Why are you still serving him?
She wondered what kind of wife she was and how he was able to not sin and remain a faithful.
Exactly.
It shows you it can be done.
Exactly. There are so many times in the book of Job where he could have given up and given in.
Yeah.
And he had no idea what was happening. And why?
But because his friends were telling him it's because of your sin. He knew he had to sin.
Exactly.
Or he was telling God, come tell me what I've done.
Please, give me an answer.
He wanted to argue with God about this.
Right. But because of his faith in God, he was protected. In chapter 2, verse 6, the Lord said to Satan, and this wasn't the only time the Lord told Satan this. He is in your power. Only spare his life. He was being protected. God was in control. Still. Make him sick. Take his family. Take his crops. Take his animals. Give him boils. But don't kill him. I'm still in control. No matter what happens, I'm still in control. And Job wasn't the only one who had health issues. Who else can we think of that had health issues and didn't dwell on them, but continued to serve God? Paul. We may not understand everything that goes on, why we feel bad, again, why we feel bad, why we hurt, why we ache, why we creak. I feel like I get up in the morning sometimes and I'm a Rice Krispie person. Snap, crackle, and pop. And we may not like what's going on. We may not like the answers that we're getting because most of the time we're getting non-answers. I don't know what's wrong with you. Go to this doctor. How many times have we heard that? But we need to make sure that we are still putting our trust and our faith in God. That He's in control. What did, in verse 10, what did Job tell his wife after she told him to curse God and die? Chapter 2. I'm sorry?
We should have done good for God and not accept.
I called her a foolish woman.
There you go.
Yeah.
He called her a foolish woman. You speak one of the foolish women speak. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? And in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. That was another point I wanted to make. How many times do we thank God for all the good we have in our lives? In our blessings, in our prayers, we thank Him for the good that we have in our lives. Do we ever think to thank God for the trials or the times of health struggles? That's a question. Yes, no, maybe?
Usually we're asking to help us get through it. I don't know that I've ever thanked Him for the stuff, for my pain. I don't remember doing that.
Did it make you stronger? Did you feel closer during that time?
It helps us realize our need for God. And if this is all there is, then it's not worth it some days. If you think this is, if this life is all there is in the suffering, I see why people commit suicide who are not Christians or who do not believe in God. There's no reason to suffer if there's not a God who's in control and says you don't have the right to do that. But I do feel like that I could not get through some of the illnesses that I've had in my life and the struggles that I continue to have. God is a great comfort to know that there is a better place than this. Not too many of us are like Paul, though, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he says, he starts off in verse 7 talking about his thorn in the flesh, and we're not sure what that is, but he called it a messenger of Satan to torment him to keep him from boasting. But down in verse 10, verse 9, and he has said that if God has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So Paul wasn't just suffering whatever the thorn in the flesh was. He was also being persecuted, insulted. He was suffering in so many ways. And yet he took comfort in Christ and whatever he could do to glorify Him. And so, that's a hard attitude to have. But I'm going to glory in this. I'm going to be thankful for this weakness that I have. And
for the persecution.
Yeah. Sometimes our help, it's easy for us, I think, to excuse ourselves for not doing what we need to do for the cause of Christ. I don't feel well, so I can't have people in my home. I don't feel well, so I can't. How can I take food to somebody else? We never see anybody else as worse off than we are. And that's a bad thing, I think, because everybody has health issues in their days. Yeah, but maybe I'm worse than somebody else, but I can still get through my day and try to be self-sufficient. But sometimes people need extra help, and why should I pass that off to somebody else when it's up there? I can't do it. Sometimes you just can't, and there's some issues you can't, and that's totally understandable. But I think it's easier to make excuses and not do things because of that when really we could. And generally, when you've done that, you feel better.
You feel better.
You know, there are times in my life that I didn't, you know, I thought, I just got to go back to bed and go to church. But you come and you feel better after you leave. And I've never quite understood that. But, you know, there are times you can't sit because your back hurts so bad, you stand up in the back of the building. But you feel better. You know, it doesn't hurt any less when you leave. I mean, it doesn't hurt any more when you leave than if you just stayed home and stayed in bed. It's back to attitude.
It's about the Verse 25 through 26. It says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." We are not in control, for the most part, and we know this is going to fail. This outward shell, it's going to fail. We're going to get old. We're going to get wrinkles. We're going to get gray hair. We're going to have aches. We're going to have pain. But if we focus on that, then we lose our focus on serving God and honoring Him, then we won't have that heaven that it talks about in this. This jumped out at me. I desire nothing on earth. We can't take earth with us to heaven. The trials, the problems that we have, can't take them to heaven. But they can keep us from heaven if we focus too much on them. God needs to be the strength of your heart so that you can hope for heaven. It's not a sin to strive for good health. As long as our focus doesn't become consumed and take over our thoughts and our energies. It's when we do this, when it does take over our thoughts and our energies, and it becomes all-encompassing to where we spend all of our time and our energy, that's when it becomes the idol. Any other thoughts? Yes.
That's something that's kind of off-subject, but it's something that I was thinking about a lot, and please don't interrupt me, because it's kind of lengthy. I don't want people to take what I'm saying out of context or whatever. I was thinking as I was doing this lesson, I was thinking about the young mothers and the women of childbearing age and the elderly, and kind of making an appeal or a petition for them that we act responsibly with our health and we think about our neighbor with our health, because sometimes people come to church and they're thinking, oh, you know, I don't know what they're thinking really. But if you are like coughing your lungs out, or you're like totally sick and you're still coming into the congregation, you know, to me it's almost like saying that you don't have a respect for the people around you, especially for like young mothers, or if you're sending your child to Bible class and they're just like horribly sick, or they have a fever, or the child is like listless and they're usually an active child. I don't know what people are thinking or why, but you know, God says that we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. So I'm just wondering, why are we coming to church if we're really, really sick like that. You know, because we do need to think about our brother and our sister in Christ. And yes, you don't want to be like a hypochondriac and be like, oh no, I'm going to pick up a germ from everything. You know, you're fitting curates all the time. You know, that's just ridiculous. But I'm just talking about, you know, we do need to be respectful and, you know, to the people around us. And if we're really sick, and maybe there's, and really, I can't think of anyone in here, but maybe there's somebody in your family who is consistently coming or bringing their children or grandchildren, and you're just like, oh my goodness, that child or that person just seems to take home the miserable, you know. Maybe we just can talk to them and remind them that it's our duty to love our neighbors as ourselves, especially our brethren. I'm not talking about Steve, you know, he's a preacher. He might have to come sick sometimes because that's his job. He's a preacher. He has to be here to preach. You know, if you're the adult class teacher, you know, you might feel like, oh, my greater responsibility is to teach. You know, think about your health. But I'm talking about people, I really don't know, but God sees our heart and he knows why we're coming. If we're just coming and we're tired of taking care of our kennel day, we're considering Bible class as our, you know, babysitting.
Maybe their parents didn't know. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they didn't realize
that. I sent her, and when she got her, she had a fever, and I felt horrible.
Well, those things happen. But also, you have to remember.
Exactly. I'm talking about something you weren't aware. If you're aware.
Well, yeah. If people are aware in doing that, I don't understand that either. But the thing is, if you take her to Walmart or to the grocery store, I guarantee you, you're passing by people.
Running fever
and sick.
Well, when there was a swine flu out, I did not take Lily. I'll be with you. I'm just that kind of person.
That's fine. And I can understand that. But I'm just saying, we cannot protect. And from my understanding or misunderstanding, whichever the case may be, that you build immunity by being around things. And because, like the wine bubble, you know, we had no immunity. And but then other people, doctors will tell you, don't worry about it. Your natural immunity is going to take over. That's one reason I don't like the antibacterial stuff, because it kills the good thing. We have good things on our hands. We have good bacteria on our hands. And when we use the antibacterial, we kill all that. And that's one thing I don't like about antibiotics, because we have good things in our body now. You have to sometimes. But once you get in the cycle where kids take it all the time, sometimes
their body builds up an immunity to it.
Joel had pneumonia when he was 6 months old, and he had some of the antibiotics, and he took everything that came along. We finally had to just let him suffer and be sick and get over it without antibiotics, because he had no immunity. It just, everything came along he took, because it kept killing all the good and bad. So, but I understand where you're coming from, and I have no clue why somebody would knowingly come. If Stephen had a fever, and he got up on Sunday morning, and he knew he had a fever, I think he would just say, you know, I can't do this. I can't spread. I mean, he could preach, but he would call somebody and say, you know, I have to sing today, or somebody's going to have to, you know, somebody has to do something, because, like, you know, he would not come and spread something if he knew he had something that was contagious.
Anything else? Those are great comments. Great comments. And I think the only thing that I would know to do personally, if I was teaching one of the kids' classes and I knew that they were running a fever, you know, after class, go to the parent, say, you know, did you know, did you realize, you may not have realized, feels warm, because some kids run, I mean, they're heating blankets. Dylan was, oh my goodness, he ran hot all the time. But his fevers were astronomically hot. So people would think he was running a fever, and he was just a warm kid. But yes, I had people come, did you know he's running? No, that's his normal temperature. So, and it may be that way. So I don't know, just kind of pull the mother, grandmother, grandfather, uncle, aunt, whatever, off to the side and say, do they feel warm to you? That type of thing. Maybe they just started running a fever, because Dylan's would come on, I mean, in seconds flat, where he would just start running a fever out of the blue. Anything else? Okay, well, that's the lesson for this morning. Thanks for the extra comments, because that spread out the time a little bit. Next lesson is having children. And even if you don't have children yet, it's still going to be a good lesson for us.
Dear Father in Heaven, we thank you for the time that we have spent together studying your word. We thank you for Dawn and for her preparation and for the things that she has brought to us. We pray that we will do our part and study these lessons and take what we've learned and apply it to our lives. Pray that you'll be with Sheila and that she may heal quickly. And we pray that you'll be with Jim and that he may be able to leave the hospital soon. We pray that you'll be with us the rest of this day and bring us back safely tonight. Give us of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.